Thank you very much to the Mayor and to Alison for our scripture readings. And it's that second reading we're going to be focusing on this morning. If you have that in front of you in the Bible or in the order of service, that may be a great help. A word of prayer as we begin. Loving God, we thank you for this time to think together about your living word in the scriptures. Please open our minds and hearts to see wonderful things and to take them on board. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, our nation has been profoundly shocked and saddened again and again over the past few months. First by that terrible attack in Westminster in March, and then by the Manchester bombing. And now by the news we've heard overnight of a further attack in London, in London Bridge area, with further loss of life in a place that will be known to many of us, near the well-known Barrow Boy and Banker public house. How are we to respond to these cruel and these cowardly attacks? Well, it has been so heartening to hear from many, many places that the response we must have is love. We need the love of those public servants who are risking their own lives to protect others. We need the love of those who are comforting those who are bereaved and afraid. And we need love between the different sections of our society if we are to hold together and not to fragment under these terrible threats. That's why it's so encouraging that the tribute concert in Manchester this evening, I believe, is entitled One Love, Manchester. It's what our society needs, isn't it? The strength to love. What we need in our society is also what we need in our church. I read that one in five adults say that they have no friend with whom they can discuss a personal problem. Now, that's a sad statistic in our country. And I guess that there are many, too, in our church also, with few people who they can depend on and who they can open up to. And actually, loving Christian friendship is so important for our growth and our keeping. Well, as we think about love in society and in the church, it may seem a bit strange that we're going back to this letter of 1 Thessalonians, written some 2,000 years ago. We're working through the letter Sunday by Sunday here at church. But actually, this passage before us is remarkable in ancient literature for the warmth of loving friendship that it expresses. Did you see some of the remarkable statements in it as Alison read it to us? At the start, it's Paul writing to his friends in the Greek city of Thessalonica, and he says, verse 17, when we were torn away from you in person, not in thought. And then chapter 3, verse 1, when we could stand it no longer, he says. And then later in verse 8, for now we really live, since you are standing firm in the Lord. Now, writing with such warmth to his friends is, I think, conclusive proof that the Apostle Paul was not himself British. Scholars have suggested this for some time. I know we've heard this before, but here is the conclusive proof that he can't have been British. Now, as we saw a few weeks ago, Paul had spent 3 weeks in the Greek city of Thessalonica, and he'd shared the message of Jesus, and a group there had come to Christian faith. There were also those in that city who were very opposed to the Christian message, and they organized a riot, we read in the book of Acts, and Paul had to flee. And we imagine that those opponents of Christianity were saying to the young believers, old Paul doesn't really care for you. He's a charlatan. He's in it for the money and for the power. After all, when the going got tough, Paul got going. And so as he writes to his friends in Thessalonica, he opens his heart to them and he expresses his love for them. But actually, what we have here in this passage is testimony to the power of Jesus Christ to change our hearts and to give us love. Remember, Jesus says to his disciples, love each other as I have loved you. Now today is the day of Pentecost. It's the day when Christians remember that Jesus has given his Holy Spirit into all who believe. And it's the Holy Spirit who brings the love of Jesus into our hearts and enables us to love one another with that love. Now that's what we're reading about here in 1 Thessalonians. You remember what Paul was like before he became a follower of Jesus? Well, he was a violent persecutor of the church. But here we see how the love of Jesus through the Holy Spirit has changed his heart. So it's not just ancient history. What we're looking at this morning is a reflection of the love that God has for each one of us. And we're seeing how the Lord Jesus, through his Spirit, changes our hearts that we might show this love to one another in church and in society. So I want to draw out four things we learn in this reading about Christian love. And if this part of the Bible is new to you, I think you'll find some of these things familiar and some of them quite different to the love that we normally think of and see. So four things. First, love's goal. Verses 17 to 20, the first paragraph, Paul explains what he's longing for in the future. Love's goal, what he's looking forward to, what he's aiming for in his friendships. So Paul explains in verse 17 how he was torn away from them for a short time in person and not in thought. He says he's made every effort to come back and see them, but in some way he doesn't specify, Satan has stopped him returning. And then in verse 19, the key verse in this section, Paul explains what he's looking forward to in the future. And he says, for what is our hope, our joy, or the crown in which we will glory in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ when he comes? Is it not you? Indeed, you are our glory and joy. Now, Paul lived his life looking forward to the second coming of Jesus. Paul knew that Christ came the first time, just a few years earlier, to deal with the problem of human rebellion and sin. Christ came the first time to die on the cross for our sins, that through committing ourselves to him personally in faith, the problem of us turning away from God might be dealt with. We might have forgiveness and restored relationship with God. Now, God had promised the first coming of Jesus centuries before in Scripture. And then after years of waiting, he kept the promise and Christ came the first time. That's why I believe that God will also keep his promise that Christ will come the second time. Of course, we don't know when he will come, but we know that when he comes, it will be a day of justice. He will judge the living and the dead, as we say in the Creed. And it will be a day of restoration. He will restore this creation, making everything new. And it will be the day when he dwells at last with his people. And Paul tells us in verse 19 what it is he's looking forward to about the day of Jesus' coming. And amazingly, it's not just being there himself, but it's seeing his Thessalonian friends there too. That's his goal. Paul longs for them to continue trusting in Christ. So on the day that Jesus returns, Paul's joy and his crown will be seeing them in glory. Now remember, this love that Paul had, it's just a reflection of the love that the Lord Jesus has for each one of us. Christ longs for us to put our faith and keep our faith in him, and so to spend eternity with him in glory. That's love's goal. And Christian believers, this is the love that the Holy Spirit is giving us for other people. Now, I know that my friends have got many different goals for me. I'm sure that some of them hope that my timekeeping would become more punctual. Others are hoping that my table manners would become more pleasant. And some are hoping that I would learn to tell some different and new stories. Well, those goals are important. But Christians, our greatest longing for those we love is that they would be with us in glory on the day that Christ comes. That's the great longing and goal that we have in our love. So love's goal. Next we see love's concern. And Paul describes in chapter 3, verses 1 to 5, the deep concern that he had when he didn't know if the Thessalonians were continuing in their Christian faith or not. Love's concern. Let me read verses 1 to 5 again, the second paragraph. So when we could stand it no longer, we thought it best to be left by ourselves in Athens. We sent Timothy, who is our brother and God's fellow worker in spreading the gospel of Christ, to strengthen and encourage you in your faith. so that no one would be unsettled by these trials. You know quite well that we were destined for them. In fact, when we were with you, we kept telling you that we would be persecuted. And it turned out that way, as you well know. For this reason, when I could stand it no longer, I sent to find out about your faith. I was afraid that in some way the tempter might have tempted you, and our efforts might have been useless. Now we know in life, don't we, that love and concern belong together. So living with me has certainly caused my poor wife a good deal of concern, mostly due to my DIY skills. My bookshelves are positioned to crack you on the head, my picture hooks fall from the wall in the middle of the night, and worst of all, my toaster repairs have been known to leave a blue flame shooting up your arm a meter long. Well, joking aside, when we love people, we have concern for them. In fact, the more we love, well, the more concern we have in our life. And Paul's concern for the Thessalonians was for their spiritual welfare. He knew they were facing trials and persecutions. He'd warned them about it many times. And he was concerned that under this pressure, they might have packed in their faith. And we learn here that he cared about them so much that he literally couldn't stand not knowing how they were getting on. So he chose to be left on his own in Athens, quite a sacrifice, and to send Timothy, his colleague, back to them to strengthen and encourage them in their faith. That's love's concern. And again, it's a reflection of the love that God has for each of us. He is concerned for our spiritual welfare. And God did not just send a Timothy. No, he sent his son to die on the cross that we might come back to him. And Christians, this is the love and concern that we should have for one another. It's why the relationships we have in growth groups, the friendships we have here on Sunday, are so important. When our Christian friends are facing trials, they need our help. They need us to listen to them, to talk and pray with them, to walk with them through those trials, reminding each other of the truths of Christ's first coming, his love shown at the cross, and of his second coming, the hope that we have. We need to strengthen and encourage each other in trials, as Timothy did. And I know actually that those of us who are Christian believers will feel a heavy burden of concern for those we care for who don't share our Christian faith. And I just want to encourage us for a moment from these verses that that concern is a normal part of Christian love. The Apostle Paul himself felt that concern. And we see here that it really helps to share the burden, to have a Timothy, someone who we can talk to and pray with about our concern for our loved one, someone who can help us in witnessing to them. And it really helps not only to share it with another person, but to share our concern with God himself. After all, God cares for our loved one even more than we do. He's the one who gives faith. And he can actually walk with us and help us bear the load of concern. So we've seen love's goal and then love's concern. Next, Paul shows us love's joy. He tells us of the joy that he had in the Thessalonians' faith, love's joy. Let's read from verse 6. But Timothy has just now come to us from you and has brought good news about your faith and love. He has told us that you always have pleasant memories of us and that you long to see us, just as we also long to see you. Therefore, brothers, in all our distress and persecution, we were encouraged about you because of your faith. For now we really live, since you are standing firm in the Lord. How can we thank God enough for you in return for all the joy we have in the presence of our God because of you? We'll leave that reading there. Of course, this is what we find in love, that our hearts are bound together with other people, so that in love, what gives us the greatest happiness is not our own good. No, in love, what gives us joy is the well-being of other people who we care for. Well, when Paul was writing this letter, Timothy had just got back to him from Thessalonica, and you can imagine Timothy running up to Paul and saying, "Paul, I've got good news. It's about their faith and their love. They're still trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. They still have that Holy Spirit-given love for each other and for everyone else. And you can imagine Paul responding. I don't know what he was like. Would it have been whoops of joy? Would he have hugged Timothy and wept with joy? Well, he does say, verse 8, now we really live since you are standing firm in the Lord. What love. And again, it's a reflection of the love that God has for each of us. We learn in Scripture that when we turn to Christ in faith, when we persevere in our faith through trials, it's actually rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God. God himself rejoices over us. And Christian believers, I hope we often experience this joy ourselves in our Christian friendships. Let's not just have love's concern. Let's have love's joy as well. When we see someone at church, in the growth group, an old friend, and we talk to them and we hear of their faith and love, well, we can share in love's joy. We too can say, now we really live, since you are standing firm in the Lord. We've seen love's goal, love's concern and joy. Now finally, we see in Paul's example, love's prayer. Paul loved these Thessalonians so much that he prayed for them. Verse 10. Night and day we pray most earnestly that we may see you again and supply what is lacking in your faith. Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus clear the way for us to come to you. May the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other and for everyone else, just as ours does for you. May he strengthen your hearts so that you'll be blameless and holy in the presence of our God and Father when our Lord Jesus comes with all his holy ones. So Paul was praying for them. He was praying that he would be able to come and see them again and supply what is lacking in their faith. That is to fill in the gaps, what they didn't yet understand and trust about Jesus Christ. So he was praying for their faith to grow, and he was also praying for their love. Verse 12 it is, that their love would be like a fountain increasing and overflowing for each other and for everyone else. It's one of the distinctive things about Christian love. It should be the same for everyone. Whether they agree with us or not, whether they treat us well or not, the Christian should have the same love that Jesus has for us, for one another, and for everyone else in society, as we see here in verse 12. Their faith and their love to grow, he was praying for. And in verse 13, he prayed that the Lord would strengthen their hearts so that they would be blameless and holy when our Lord Jesus comes. Now, to be blameless in the Bible, it doesn't mean perfect. But it does mean mature and godly. That's Paul's prayer for his Christian friends. They'd be growing in the likeness of Jesus, in Christian maturity, so that when Christ comes, he would find them godly. Well, isn't it interesting that this section on Christian love ends with prayer? There are many ways that we show our love for our friends, sending letters, texts, and gifts. Spending time with people, serving a family day in, day out, in the home and in the workplace. These are wonderful expressions of love. But perhaps the greatest sign of Christian love is to do what Paul did, and to pray. Believers, are you praying for those you love, like Paul, that they would grow in their faith, their love, and their holiness? Now, none of us pray as we should. I certainly don't. It so easily gets squeezed out of our lives. Just to encourage you with a quote, Hudson Taylor, who was a missionary to China, and he said this. He said, when we work. But when we pray, God works. Get what he means? When we work. But when we pray, God works. You see, prayer is not a burden, it's a privilege. And since it's a privilege, it should also be a priority. It doesn't make sense to spend all our time serving those we love if it means we can't pray for them. So what a portrait of Christian friendship and love we have here in Paul's love for his Thessalonian friends. Love's goal, he was longing to see them there in glory when Christ comes. Love's concern, he cared deeply for them and sacrificed for them. Love's joy, how he rejoiced when he heard they were continuing in their faith. And love's prayer. Now, I share this picture of Christian love with us this morning, not to burden us, and to make us feel inadequate, but actually to make us feel excited. Because remember, this is the love that God and the Lord Jesus has for us. Remember what Jesus says to his disciples, love one another as I have loved you. He continued, greater love has no one for this than he lay down his life for his friends. This love is ultimately found in Jesus. Such was his concern for our spiritual well-being, he actually came and laid down his life for us. And then he takes great joy when we respond to him. His longing is that we would be with him for eternity. And actually he works to grow us in our faith, our love, and our godliness of life. And actually this love that Jesus has for us is the love, believers, that he grows in us by his Holy Spirit. For friends here at church, for friends in our growth groups, and actually for everybody else we know. So let me ask, do you know this love? Do you know the love of God for you in Jesus Christ? And do you grow this love? Are you asking Christ through his Holy Spirit to grow this love in your heart? And then do you show this love? Is it increasing and overflowing for each other and for everyone else? Let us pray. Our gracious God, we see the great need we have in our society and also in our church for love, for the kind of committed friendship that Paul speaks of here. We know there are many in our town who are fearful and lonely, and in our church as well. So we pray that the love that you have for us would be more and more abundant in our hearts and in our relationships. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen.